I think a successful retirement is one in which you get to explore things that you haven't before or to carry them further. So for anybody who's an artist of any kind, a creative, you have the chance to explore what you really want to do, who you want to be, what you want to put out into the world, and how your art can transform you, transform everybody around you, and your art is transformed by your environment.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy, with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors healthcare.
Have you ever felt in your life that things weren't just quite right? That you were looking for something, kept searching for something? When we get to retiring, we get that time element. It allows us to indulge in looking for whatever we might have been searching for. Who you may want to be. Retirement gives us the opportunity to work on ourselves. And hey, why not? You deserve it. Most of us have had a long, busy life, and now it's time to step back, let the next generation get on with their lives, and spend some time focusing on yourself. My guest today, Barbara Snow, has done exactly that, and her self-discovery has led her to change country and continent. It's an interesting story. Stick around and hear one woman's self-discovery journey. Welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Anne Nelson. And today I have a special guest, Barbara Snow. And Barbara is a mystical author and a shamanic practitioner. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here, Anne.
Now, I'm in sunny North Queensland. I'm on the east coast of Australia. Would you like to share where you are living?
I am living in the beautiful historical city of Cuenca, Ecuador, which is, of course, Ecuador is on the left coast of South America, and it's in the Andes in Ecuador, which is a country of about the size of Colorado, and the same beautiful, beautiful mountains. There are three main cities, and Cuenca is the cultural capital. So all the artists, writers, dancers, musicians, it's a lovely place to live.
How long have you been there, and what prompted you to change countries and change continents?
I came here on, I actually landed in Guayaquil on September 11th of 2014. So I'm coming up on my fifth year here, and I think I've always been an adventurer, and I've always wanted to travel and see things. And I started getting a message, and whether that message was from angels or guidance or my higher self saying, you know, you need for your own soul's growth, you need to go here, because I started seeing all these conversations about Cuenca. At that time, International Living was promoting them actually as one of the best places to live, or I think top five best places to live in the whole world. So I watched that for quite a while. And then this is what I mean by guidance. On December 22nd of 2012, the day after the world ended, I had a ceremony at my house, which was on a ranch right outside of Denver, Colorado. And I was talking to a friend about Ecuador, and a couple of new people came to do the ceremony with us. And one of them said, Ecuador, I know some people, really nice people who have a house outside of Cuenca. And it turned out Iris and Mike Barrett lived only 10 minutes away from me in Colorado. They did have a home outside of Ecuador, outside of Cuenca, actually, only less than an hour's bus ride. So they invited me to come, and I did. And they said, "This is so cool. We've invited lots of people, but you're the only one who did." So I went for 2 weeks, and they showed me all around, and I absolutely loved it. So the following year, I brought myself back for 9 weeks because I wanted to see if I could manage. You know, it's Spanish-speaking country. I'm a tall, blonde woman, and Ecuadorians tend to be shorter, brown people. So I knew I couldn't hide. I had to really see how I was going to interact with them and how they would respond to me. They were lovely, absolutely lovely. I came and I toured around. I spent 2 weeks at a Spanish immersion in on the coast in a little town called Olon. So I was living with a Spanish-speaking family and having classes every day. I had a ball. And I felt like I had been adopted. They took such good care of me. They were so nurturing and kind. And still, every time I go back to Olon, I go to see that family because they're so precious to me. So that gave me the confidence that, yes, I could do it. And I went home and hired somebody to get my visa because I couldn't deal with everything because I was going to sell or give away everything I owned. Got back at the end of April and had my visa and was living in Ecuador in September.
Wow, it's a very brave move, and it's a big thing to do, to just sell up and move like that.
It was a big thing, and it helped that I had already made friends when I was doing the nine-week tour, even the tour the year before. So I had people I knew would catch me. They were just lovely, friendly people that I had met. In this case, they were gringos. So they were expats from North America who were already living down here. So I wasn't coming blind, which is my intention during the tour. And so it really wasn't that scary at all. And it was such a lovely thing to go to. And at that time, I was feeling the pressure on my finances in the States. I loved living on the ranch out in the country, but the danger was it was so beautiful. I loved being there, and I would think about going into town, and it was like everybody's so busy, and I would end up staying on the ranch, and then I'd end up feeling lonely and isolated. I now live right next to a beautiful river. Cuenca has four rivers that run through it, so that's a big theme for the city. And it also helps keep the air fresh, it keeps the energy fresh, it keeps the whole collective psyche moving, if you will.
Mm. It sounds like a wonderful place. You've certainly got a special spot there beside a river. Is it a higher altitude there?
Cuenca is at exactly the same altitude as the ranch on which I was living outside of Denver. It's at 8,300 feet. And so the move to Denver had been the first time I'd lived at altitude. Before that, I'd always lived at sea level, mostly in the San Francisco Bay Area. And before that, in Houston, where I grew up. So I had already, by living in Colorado, acclimated to the altitude. It is an issue for some people. Not many, but there is a certain percentage of the population, especially older people, who have a hard time adjusting to a high altitude because it does things to your body. I haven't had any problems, and I'm very grateful. And if I develop altitude problems, there are some lovely valleys that are just a few thousand feet lower that I will try before I do anything else.
So you've been there a few years now. Do you think you're going to be more than just a visitor, a resident?
I am. I think I'm going to go for citizenship next year. I don't have to. I have a permanent retirement visa. But I love this country. I love the people. I want to make a contribution. And that's one of the things I enjoy about living here. The expat community is very focused on bringing value to our new homeland. And, you know, no place is perfect. Every place has problems that need to be addressed. And so we're doing everything we can to help make this place that is so beautiful and has welcomed us with open arms better for the people that were here first.
That's wonderful. It's obviously well-loved. Do you feel safe living there?
I feel very safe. I can walk around my neighborhood all, you know, I don't go out after about 11 o'clock at night in the neighborhood, but I could. It's a safe Ecuadorian neighborhood. It's very calm. And throughout Ecuador, I feel pretty safe. I mean, you don't do stupid things here, just like you don't do stupid things in New York City or any place else. And of course, Ecuador was colonized by the Spanish. So the Spanish heritage of high fences with broken glass on top is everywhere in Ecuador, just like it is in Peru or any other Spanish country. But I happened to have moved last September into a little gated community. Very small. There's only 7 houses. All the neighbors know each other. Everybody greets each other, kind of knows each other's business, but not invasively. And so I feel very, very safe as a single woman living here.
Well, that's good to know. Now, you're an author.
I am.
And I believe you started writing at a young age.
I did. I've always loved to read, and I put this on my website, so I suspect that's where you got it. I decided when I was about 10 years old that I was going to write a book. And my mother had an old-fashioned portable typewriter. So I got that. I put it on the desk, put a sheet of paper in it, sat down there, and stared at it. I was 10. Even grown-ups do that and sit and stare at the blank page. So my solution after about 5 minutes of not so intense labor was to put it away and go outside and play. But I never lost the love of words, and I've never lost the love of reading and writing. This is one of the ways that that I see who I am, that I process what's happening in my life. And I have moved from poetry and short stories into what I call shamanic suspense. It could also be called supernatural suspense. So they're novels, they're stories that are exciting, and they have the slightly different twist of asking the question, if we use shamanic tools, can we save ourselves?
Mm. I have no idea.
We don't know until we try, but I'm encouraging people to try because the tools of shamanic practice pretty much saved my life when I was going through the darkest night of my soul. So I'm very grateful, and I have seen around the world, and to me it doesn't matter what form of shamanism, whether it's Native North American, whether it's the indigenous people in the Amazon here. The word shaman actually came from, I've forgotten the name of the people now, but they're in Northern Europe. So all around the world, this is a perception of reality and how to work with energy that is universal.
Thank you. Can you explain a little bit more about the practice?
I would love to. It focuses on energy and vibration. So it's gained the attention of people who have become aware of quantum physics. Humans are apparently quite unique creatures in the universe. Apparently, we are the only species that have emotions in the way that we do. And those emotions create a vibration. And the vibration responds to the emotions. There's a book called Power Versus Force that describes the vibrational rate of different emotions. And of course, the lowest ones are shame, fear, rage, the things that we think of as being negative emotions. And as you go up the vibrational rate chart, so if you're afraid and you let go of the fear and become angry, you feel better. You can do things. You can function better. And as you go up the scale to tranquility, to peace, to generosity, you feel better and better and better. Shamanism addresses the notion, it's not just a notion, the reality that unprocessed emotion creates dense energy in our bodies that keeps us feeling poor. And if you can move that dense energy and clear it, if you can change the individual's perception of their reality, that's healing. And it's very, very grounding. It recognizes that we are all integral parts of nature. Nature's not something outside us. We actually are nature. And so you feel more connected to all that is. It's a very inclusive way of seeing the world. And it's meant a lot to me. I'm going to see if I can do this. All right. There's one of my altars right behind me. And we use objects. Objects also have their own energy. And you've seen things like Native Americans using feathers to clear a field. That's the sort of thing that I do. And it's very gratifying to see people's lives improve when they take charge, because I hold the space for them, but they're the ones that actually do the work.
It must be similar to what I've heard before, and they say you've got to raise the vibration or raise the energy in the room. So,
yes. And it's the atmosphere. You know, even in hippie days, we talked about good vibes, and that's exactly what it is. And, of course, it's got the spiritual component. You're connecting with divine source, with all that is, and you're connecting with the spirits of animals and trees and the spirits of the elements, water, fire, air, earth. And it's cohesive. There's so much joy there. And that's why in my books, I put these tools into the stories so that people can see examples that are not threatening to them of how life can be. And it's great fun. So that's why I call my stories shamanic suspense.
Well, it just sounds like you're in a wonderful place. You've got a beautiful smile there. So I think I've worked out what's drawn you to the Andes. I assume it's to do with the spiritual energy there.
Yes.
So what is the relationship, in your words, between the spiritual energy that you're getting from relocating to the Andes and your creative energy for your writing?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because creative energy begins with the spiritual energy inside you. I mean, all of us have a direct connection to divine source inside us, or we wouldn't be alive. That's what animates us. And that is the same place that creativity begins. Living here, I have less stress. I have more mental space to allow ideas to come through. And I think that's one reason that the whole town is so creative. It's such an art and cultural center because of the energy. And partly it's the energy of the four rivers. It's the energy of the gorgeous mountains that surround the city. The word Cuenca actually means basin. And so it's a little valley, a dip in the Andes that's surrounded by green and these beautiful mountain peaks. So it allows me, and it would allow you if you were here, to open up to whatever wants to come through you, and something new, mm-hmm. something exciting, explore adventures. And there's so much beauty. There's so many things to do. I think a successful retirement is one in which you get to explore things that you haven't before or to carry them further. So for anybody who's an artist of any kind, a creative, you have the chance to explore what you really want to do, who you want to be, what you want to put out into the world, and how your art can transform you, transform everybody around you, and your art is transformed by your environment.
I'll have to put it on the bucket list to come visit one day.
If you do, I'll show you all around, and it really is lovely. It really is lovely. So I think retiring abroad is a wonderful thing to do. It certainly opened up my eyes, my soul, to other ways of thinking. You really begin to pay more attention to communicating accurately. I'm pretty good at Spanish now, and I love that. I love being able to speak more than one language because language forms our thoughts. The way that the language itself is structured, that's why German and French and Spanish and Latin and Chinese all sound so different, and the cultures are different, and part of it's the structure of the language.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say is it's a great story. You've relocated to another land, another continent, and you've found your perfect place, it seems. So if listeners wanted to find out more about you, find out about your books, and how would they get in contact with you, Barbara?
I have a website. It's barbarasnow.com. And this is actually the perfect time. I'm launching book one of my series. So this is very exciting. The series is called The Shaman Chronicles. Book one is Protectors of the Grid, which refers to Earth's grid because she has one, you know. That's what powers her in her life. Second book is Protectors of the Path. Third is Protectors of the Water. And fourth will be Protectors of the Gifts.
Well, thanks very much. So it's barbarasnow.com, is that right?
That's exactly right. And I'd love all of you to come. And right now I'm giving away a lovely little book called Ceremony, Call Yourself Home, to everyone who comes to the website and signs up for the newsletter. I don't bombard people, and everybody seems to really enjoy the things that I send out. So sign up, get your free book. If you get bored, you can unsubscribe, but I'll bet you don't.
All right. Well, thanks very much. It's been wonderful hearing your story and sharing it with the listeners on the Retire Well, Retire Happy show.
Thank you so much, Anne. It's been an honor to be here.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.